Good afternoon, and welcome to We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff. And our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. Pape Machinery is pretty much everything John Deere. You've seen a green machine out there, give us a call. We can fix you up, either small ag, large ag, turf, you name it, they can handle it. Pape Machinery is located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. And like I say, you can get parts, sales, service. They do it all right there from that location. Or give them a call at 226-9226 or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Well, you had a front row seat to the big fire.
Oh, yeah. The big fawn fire was looming large over the back of the property there. We had to actually close the store down on Thursday, evacuate, and looks like everything's under control now. Smoke's cleared out, and hopefully they've got it under control. So
yeah, we unpacked the car yesterday.
Yeah.
I'd like for it to be under control now that we've unpacked the car.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I had a bunch of stuff that I had evacuated out of Mineral where my mother lives
during the last fire
a month ago during the Dixie fire. And moved all that down to the house. And then Thursday, it's like, well, I guess we're going to pack this all up again now because it doesn't make any sense to bring it down the hill and let it burn up down here.
You just go from fire to fire to fire.
Yeah, so.
Hopefully we're done. And that was another psycho, what was she, environmental studies? Anyway, she was another person with a degreed person from out of the area. She was from Palo Alto running around with matches.
Yeah.
So people with extensive college degrees. And,
apparently can't figure out, well, I think they can figure out how matches
don't get many
work.
Matches.
Yeah, because they
should lighters or
they
something.
They like to play with it, yeah.
Weirdos. Just what we needed. So this is the much anticipated and often maligned Arizona audit. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, did you see where that was on? It was actually online last week, and they're finally getting to the bottom of all that.
We watched it part of the day on Friday.
Shocking information.
It was awesome, though, to listen to the other channels, you know, the CNNs, the MSNBCs, and all those, because, of course, all it did was confirm that Biden won. The Republicans just proved it, that Biden won by a landslide. They just got him more votes. That's what happened. Nothing to see here. Move along. And I thought, wow, that's weird. That's not what I was watching.
Yeah, really.
It was actually really different than the presentation to the Senate. So we thought we would have our good friend Lyle Rapacki, Dr. Lyle Rapacki, come on with us again today. And he has been keeping us up to speed on this whole thing. And now we no longer have – we can't talk about that. Well, we might have some. I guess I shouldn't say that.
Well, they pretty much talked about everything.
They talked about all of it. Yeah. So hopefully we don't have any more. I can't talk about that. But turn him clear his throat. Yeah, you get ready back there, over there in the.
You can earn your. Now you got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, your dollar.
You got some
is,
splaining to do.
Yeah. you go, Ricky. So let's see. In real life, he's a private sector intelligence, behavioral analysis, and threat assessment specialist. And since June of 2010, Dr. Rapacki has provided selected members of the Arizona legislature intelligence briefings on border security. And I'm sorry, I sound like that dog Muttley from the cartoons when we were kids. I'm like in between every like third word. I'm like, sorry. So anyway.
We're just going to call her Wheezy.
Trying not to do that on purpose, but it's all I got.
Yeah, she's still blowing smoke rings.
Yeah, I know. I just used my nebulizer. It helped a lot. Not really, though. So let's see, he provides them, intelligence briefings on border security and threats to Arizona sovereignty. And, you know, we are going to get back to that because that is a huge issue. And that's always what our shows were, with, Dr. Rapacki was on border security. And then, if you go back and you listen to some of the earlier programs, you can hear how he, wound up in the midst of this Arizona audit business, which, has been quite a ride. I've got shows posted with him back to October of 2016, so we've been hanging out with him for a while, and I don't see it ending anytime soon.
No, it's just getting better and
we
better.
We don't really know where he lives, so we can't really go get him, but you know, he does answer his phone, so we'll be sure to always have him on the hook. So I don't know where you want to go with this. Bottom line is, you know, when people see in the media that they didn't find anything, that Biden won by, you know, whatever, it depends on who you watch, you know, landslide, greater margin than they already counted. When they see all that, that's basically not what they found. Is that an okay assessment?
She forgot to phrase that in the form of a question, Lyle.
I forgot to up-talk at the end. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm so sick of it. I don't even do it when I'm supposed to.
I thought she was just making another speech, Bill.
I was going to, but I didn't have enough air.
Well, I hang around her a lot more, so I can kind of read it a little better.
Thank God the revolution doesn't start today. I couldn't do a speech.
No.
It'd be really short.
I was snoozing. So I wasn't paying attention. Yeah, so I have a cold, a really bad cold, not COVID.
That's what they all say.
Yeah, that's what they all say. Then you got Rona.
It's not the SARS.
What's Rona?
You know.
The what? Oh, never mind.
The COVID.
No. It's just, no, so I just have a cold. I have it's been a heck of a long 9 months. And
yeah, no kidding.
My role, I've been very honored and humbled to advise and consult on political matters, intelligence matters, threat matters. Not do anything with computers. As you all know, I'm not allowed around computers. People will say, Dr. Lau, what do you need? We'll do it for you. Don't touch the computer. But I've been very privileged since November 9th of last year when I was asked to coordinate the joint legislative hearing that was held on November 30th in Phoenix. That was Representative Fincham, who had already received from the day of the election, and about a week later, the 9th, 10th, I think it was the 9th or 10th, he and I can't remember, when he asked if I would coordinate all aspects of the joint legislative hearing in Phoenix. At that point in time, Mayor Giuliani came with his team, as had an all-day, 10-hour day, maybe 12, of presentations of evidence. Some was affidavits, which legally can constitute as evidence, but they're not hardcore unless they're signed, notarized, and under the threat of...
And those would have been affidavits from people who saw things that were
irregular. And I don't want to dismiss... And I don't want to dismiss that, please. There's been so much crap on the internet. I spoke about a month or so ago to a large audience, Faith and Freedom. I think I sent it to you, my speech. And it's up on my website, if I can plug my website. I didn't have it up until just a couple of days ago. It's people can go to it, and I have all sorts of stuff up there. It's Arizona, lowercase Arizona, ARIZONA, the number 2, day.com, ArizonaToday.com. And my speech a month ago was there, and I advised the audience. I think it was like 1,500 people in the audience. Congressman Gosar was the first speaker, and as he said when he came off stage, he warmed them up for me. He comes over to me and goes, "Lau, I warmed them up for you," and that was nice. He's a great guy. I've been allowed to consult on political matters, on threats associated with the ongoing audit. I've been briefed on a number of matters. I've seen a lot, and you're right, in the beginning of your show, there was a number of things I couldn't discuss. Probably today, there's still maybe one or two things, and I'll explain why. But you're right, the non-disclosures terminated at around 4 o'clock on Friday. So people associated with the audit in all capacities can now speak when they were not allowed to previously. You're going to see in the days coming a lot of information come out, and it will be daunting. And these are people who were actually in the count. They're actually on the tables, working the ballots, et cetera, et cetera. So you're going to hear a lot of things still that's coming out in waves. But there's been so much misinformation, so much sensationalism, so much disinformation, meaning not just myths, like, you know, I can make a mistake, for instance, you know, 107,500 discrepancies. Well, it turns out to be 107,550. Okay, it's off by 50, but that's not misinformation or disinformation. It was a mistake by 50.
Right.
But there's literally, from day one, not only the conventional propaganda media platforms like CNN and all the rest of them, but they put out false information deliberately to bring confusion, division, a lot of division in the ranks. And that happened Friday. My email, and I got sick Friday day. I felt the cold coming on. And by Friday night, I was like, oh, my gosh. And Saturday, but my phone, my emails went up, texts, and people were just screaming that how come it wasn't shown that Trump clearly won. And so people are freaking out. Of course, the conventional propaganda platforms aren't covering anything. What they are putting out is, again, a lot of misinformation or disinformation. And the rest of it hasn't gone out just totally yet. It's just so much time. The report by the forensic evaluators was, and this is something that people, I don't know why, you guys, but people have had a hard time accepting for 9 months. And Senator Borelli, Representative Fincham, Colonel Waldron, Doug Logan, and others, we've all been bombarded with almost the same questions from across the nation. And I'm talking thousands of questions and letters. I'm not making this up. Come to Prescott and go look at my mail. And thousands of them. And they all want to know, why can't you just call the election for Trump? Why couldn't you do this? Why can't you do that? Well, that was never the charge given to the forensic evaluators. And I need to say that to begin your show, because at the end of the Senate hearing on Friday, no numbers changed. You probably know that. And so people still came out and said, well, Biden still won by 10,000 votes. It was not the responsibility of the forensic evaluators to change the vote, nor was it the responsibility of the forensic team to alter in any way the outcome or to come forward and bring information, evidence, to start a decertification process. That's all bogus. That was in the hopes of people who, especially 8 months later now, that Biden's in and we're taking a look at what's happened to our nation, we're moving quickly into a third world status. And I'm not being funny about that. Excuse me, guys. Our economy is in shambles. We don't have borders because they don't want borders. It's just a part of Agenda 21, which I think we all met, I don't know how many years ago, and I was teaching on Agenda 21 to a nation that had that agenda. What? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Well, we're living it now. We're living it. I've had elected officials from other states contact me in the last 9-10 months and say, you know, Dr. Lau, we got a report from you that's dated 8 years ago. It's almost like you wrote it yesterday, and it has to deal with all the stuff that's going on today. Are you some sort of prophet? No. I was looking at the intel. I think a couple of my guests, Claire Lopez, I think, one or two times came on. She was a former CIA operative. I'm sorry, guys. A couple of other guests I'm sure you've allowed me to bring on. And what we've talked about was the attempt, the concerted effort to collapse the United States into the global community. And that was one of the intents of getting Trump out of office. Trump went ahead and took America that was quickly in decline and moved it into a strong economic base, number one again. We were slipping to number three or four, militarily the same. We were under footage of China, and he went ahead and took us away from that sort of bondage. I just going down the list. And they hated him. They despised him, the world leaders. And so the attempt was made to remove him over 4 years ago. I think we discussed this one time on your show, where we have uncovered evidence, not opinion, not theories. We have the manuals, the training manuals. We have the days when they trained. We know who went to the training a year before this election, where all of this was prescribed. China financed this entire operation. Five other nations were involved, and there were several socialists in America that also contributed well over $500 million. But the entire intent was to remove Trump in a decisive way and place Biden in, and that's what they did. It was not the place of the forensic evaluators to come in and prove any of that. It wasn't the place of the forensic people to come in and prove that Biden lost or Trump won. It was not. And that's one of the glaring things that came out of this on Friday, where people have gone crazy. Because if you look at the evidence, again, not theories, but the evidence, and we'll go over some of it today, it clearly suggests serious crimes were committed at a felonious level against the Constitution of Arizona. Excuse me, guys.
There was no way that they could. There's no way you could actually listen to all that evidence, come away with that. But there would be a whole lot of people who won't watch that whole thing, and that's what I was really glad we had this scheduled today, because I thought, you know, we need to hit basically the mountaintops and let people know what they actually found.
Yeah, what they publicly.
Yeah, so that when they're pummeled by their you know, friends and family, and you know, they didn't find anything, it's like, that's actually not how that worked out. But let's take a really quick break, give you a chance to grab something to drink. And but it's not 5 o'clock yet, so, you know, don't try to tell me you guys are on some weird daylight savings time travel thing.
I started my Maker's Mark earlier already, believe me.
Oh, my God. I can't believe you have any left. Let's see. So today is September 26th, 2021, just for reference. In case we wind up playing this at a different time, our guest is Dr. Lyle Rapacki, and you are listening to We the People. You can always find us and the links to Dr. Rapacki's website at wethepeopleradio.us.
Shine if you don't glow. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid.
And all that glitters is gold.
Only shooting stars break the mold.
There, that should motivate you, Lyle.
Thank you.
Yeah, you guys really are all stars, and I understand people wanted, you know, they wanted the Q outcome. You know, Trump's back in office in August, even though that ship obviously sailed. There was a lot of that, and so it's like, well, when the Arizona audit comes out, you know, he'll be back in, and it's like, well, okay, I never could see any scenario where
that made sense. Never going to happen.
It's one state. But for people who actually haven't followed this at all, tell me if I have this right. Maricopa County is the third largest county by population, but second largest by number of voters in the country? Or do I have that switched?
It's the fourth largest county in the nation.
Fourth.
In size. It was chosen because of the population. You're correct. Over 2 million voters. I know this sounds funny all of a sudden if I'm supposed to be an expert. I think it was 2.1
yeah,
2.1 and yeah, something million voters in that county. That's not the other 14 counties or 15 counties in Arizona. I can tell you that an audit has now been requested in Pima County, Arizona, which is south of Maricopa. We knew back in November that Maricopa County had alleged fraudulent issues in the voter process.
Hey, Lyle, you have something funky going on with your phone.
Why?
I don't know. You're cutting in and out on us and getting all crackly.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Now, that sounds good.
Oh, we have a storm.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay. We have a storm up here, so maybe that's it. But Maricopa County, Pima, and Coconino counties in Arizona, all three counties have alleged voter issues or challenges, let me put it that way, diplomatically. Maricopa was chosen because of the size, because it was close to the capital, and there were things that we felt that needed to be done in Maricopa/Phoenix, so that's why it was chosen. It was a little bit easier in that sense, but it was also very large, and it had a large voter block, and that's what we needed to look at. Let me try to do some things real quick, guys.
Okay.
I know we have people who are they're frustrated, and let's just see if we can get some information out here. It was a 110-page report plus exhibits that was furnished to the Senate. That entire report will be made public. In fact, it may already start be going out to the public. So people just watch it. I guarantee you, once it hits the public, it'll be everywhere. You know that. It's just, that's one of the best things about the internet. One of the bad things is you can put something goofy out there and it's all over the place. And then you have to spend weeks trying to backstep it all. But it's a 110-page report. Over 1,500 people were involved in this audit. People don't know that. There were four levels of security. Remember one time or two or three, there was all sorts of arguments that security was breached and this was breached and that was. There were security issues. At one time, an unmarked plane, which we finally identified as part of NSA, National Security Administration, was circling the Coliseum, and they were recording phone calls, taking pictures of people coming and going, license plates, and a whole host of things. This was not an easy task, folks. This was not fun. There were many, many sensitive and serious challenges. There were many, many people on the Republican side and the Democrat side who did not want this, and they did what they could to stop it. You need to factor that into this thing. And up till Friday, the governor of Arizona said he would not move to decertify. He would not call for a special election. I'm sorry, strike that. He would not call for a special session of the legislature. But Ducey is bought and paid for. He was before he was put in as governor. That's why he was put in. The Secretary of State of Arizona is an avowed socialist, a Marxist. I'm not being politically funny. They are. These people have come out of the woodwork finally. Hooray. And it's disgusting. It's enough to make you puke. And I'm not politically correct, as you all know, over 10, 12 years of dealing with me. I'm fed up with the number of people in elected office who've taken an oath to preserve and protect and defend the Constitution and us, we the people. And they do everything they can, just the opposite, to get a better parking space or a bigger name on their door. It's disgusting. And they need to be ousted as fast as they can. Now, that little speech aside, it was confirmed that Biden won. But it was not the preview of the audit to prove otherwise. And that's what people don't understand. It was the business of the audit to determine whether or not irregularities occurred, what kind, and were laws broken, constitutional, and could there be legislation that comes forward to make sure this doesn't happen in the future. Now, folks, like it or not, that's exactly what happened. And I have to tell you, I was in the beginning of those meetings 9-10 months ago. So unless you were in those meetings, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. And I'm sick and tired of all these people coming up with all this information that it was supposed to be this and that. No, it wasn't. You weren't there, so shut up. I'm fed up with this thing. Our ship is in trouble. We've hit an iceberg, and we've got people pissing and moaning about what's on the breakfast menu in the morning. And it's like, you know, something in an hour and a half, you're not going to have breakfast. You're going to be in the North Sea. I'm referring to the Titanic.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, let me share with what happened. They came forward with evidence, not theories, not hypotheses, not even preliminary evidence, which can constitute evidence, but it's a preliminary. These people came forward, the ninjas, the forensic teams, and they presented to the Senate, which was the charge of them. It was to hand over to the Senate, so the Senate makes the deliberation. Not the ninjas, not the forensic team. It's the Senate of the state, under the Constitution, that has the authority to decide what to do, and that's what's going to be happening next.
Right. The people who did the audit weren't the police. They weren't. They never got to come forward and make final judgments on it. Their job was to do the data.
That's correct. That's exactly correct. And they did. You know, you're going to have some idiots saying, well, he's biased because he knows them all. Well, shut up again. You know, you're right. I do know these people. Not once. I had Senator Borelli on my show yesterday, and I said it to the senator. I said, you know, Senator, obviously you were in a heck of a lot more meetings than I, a lot more, you know, midnight in the alley meetings, secret, top secret squirrel meetings and stuff. But I think, for the most part, correct me if I'm wrong, Senator, I think for the most part I've been pretty well briefed on a lot of stuff, and I never once, not once, ever heard anyone connected to this, even kiddingly, say, well, let's overturn the election or let's get them. Not once. The whole concept here was to find out if laws were broken and what to do to fix those laws so we don't have election integrity issues in the future going forward. And also, if the laws were broken, do we know who to hold accountable? Well, the answer today, ladies and gentlemen, is we do. We know, in large measure, unlike 9 months ago, where we had suspicions, where we had probable cause. We now have strong evidence, and I'll go over some of it with you today. And that evidence now, that packet, or the 110-page report, plus there's some additional reporting going in, which will come out public, all that's been turned over to the chief law enforcement officer of the state, the attorney general, which is where it has to go. We've had people argue, well, it should go to DOJ. Hell no, it will never be shown. It will be dumped in a garbage bin.
I was going to say, yeah, I can go there with the investigations we could all list on both hands and most of our toes.
Correct. No, it went to the Attorney General of the state because he's the chief law enforcement officer of the state. And what is alleged is crime or crimes, allegedly a fraud in the electoral process, including but not limited to destruction of evidence, the refusal to turn over evidence after subpoenas, contempt, and we have contempt for the supervisors, but contempt, in other words, they refuse to respond to the court orders, they refuse to respond to the Senate orders, which the Senate has the authority under the Constitution to make said requests. But the Senate does not have the authority to investigate. It went as far as it could by ordering a forensic evaluation, which it does have that authority. The forensic evaluation on Friday came forward and furnished to the Senate evidence of what took place, what they uncovered, and it is daunting. And much to the chagrin of Republicans and Democrats, although they're still in denial, what they proved was evidence was tampered with, chain of custody was tampered with, ballots were counted that shouldn't have been, 34,448 duplicate ballots were counted. How can you do that?
Yeah, I really like that part. Yeah, they counted them all, and the numbers were the same, but just a little caveat there, some of them were duplicates. It's like,
Well, yeah, okay, they they were somewhat the same. But again, that's a plus, because what it shows is there was no intent by the forensic teams, and there are multiple teams,
right,
four, to go ahead and change the vote.
No, but I guess my point was they were counting exactly what they were verifying what was counted, but the fine print is what was counted in that particular instance, because I watched that, you know, I was keyed on that one as well. Yes, the count was correct. However, the count was a 34,000 group of duplicate ballots. So,
correct.
Yes,
correct.
They were counted correctly, but were they actually valid ballots? That's a whole different thing. And that wasn't their job.
You're right. No, and you're right on. It was their job. I'm repeating myself, because you got people who it takes 3, 4, 5 times, and they go, oh, well, wait a minute. It was their job to furnish unfettered evidence to the Senate, by which the Senate then had to make a decision, and still does. Do they turn it over to the Attorney General? The answer is yes. It's now been turned over to the Attorney General because of crime and alleged crimes that have been committed, and some are serious. And so now he has the rightful authority and position to launch a criminal investigation. So all the evidence that's been turned over is now going to be further investigated. That doesn't mean another 9 months.
Well, they don't have to do they don't have to do all the preliminary work. It's kind of like, you know, the private investigators taking
right.
all the pictures, done all the stuff. They brought it to him.
Right.
It's like,
you're exactly right.
Here, these are all crimes. Here's all the proof. Now you move forward on the next phase of
it. You're exactly right. And what we're talking about also, Aaron, is these forensic teams are really, they're like smart. They know how to cut and paste and do all sorts of stuff with computers. Colonel Waldron laughs at me. Doug, they all laugh at me. I don't know why. But they all laugh at me because they start talking computer stuff. I have no idea what they're talking about. I have no clue what they're talking about.
So it's highly unlikely that they're going to uncover you mastermind the fraud? I mean, the people who
there
did
it. There was some discussion about it, but they very quickly eliminated me when they found out that I couldn't barely cut and paste.
They're like, he can't put an attachment on an email. This guy couldn't have done it. Oh, my God. Well, let's take a really, really quick break again, and we'll come right back.
Let's not get dirty here.
Oh, sorry.
He's
got a below the belt there. Sorry.
I know how to. I know how to make an attachment. It's taken me a couple of years, so I know. I have people
to
do that.
I have people who can do that. So, your website.
My administrative assistant says that, Dr. Lyle. I'll do it for you, sir.
You just step away from the keys. So ArizonaToday.com is not your it's not your baby, as they say. It doesn't have your fingerprints on it.
Well, actually, it does, but no. There was a professional, like computer web design master people that did it all. I just said, "How about this? Can we do that? Can we put this color up? Can we do?" I mean, yeah.
They have you in like a little strapped to a little chair on the other side of the room, and you just, you know, basically nod. I get it.
I don't want to get into the particular. I mean, straps. You know, there were some straps, but it was the move.
It was similar, but not exactly like that. We want the behind the scenes. It says videos right here on the website. Maybe that's what's going on. No, I do hope people go check it out. It's the name of the state, Arizona, the number 2, word day.com. So Arizona2day.com. And our guest is Dr. Lyle Rapacki, often maligned, but never replicated here. We don't ever have faux Dr. Lyle Rapackis who come on. So you are the original, and you're listening to We the People, and we'll come right back. We're talking about the Arizona audit and what it actually meant and what it doesn't mean, and the fact that it's not exactly over. It's just all the evidence is in. And it's kind of exciting. We'll get to some of that evidence in the next little while here. So you can find all of that great intel at we the people radio.us.
gazed in wide wonder at the joy they had found. The head nurse spoke up, said, leave this one alone. She could tell right away that I was bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad. Bad.
Because Lyle is
bad to the bone.
Bad
exactly.
To the bone. Yeah.
Thought that might make you feel happy.
Thank you. That makes me happy.
All the music is taking a different. I've got a whole different view on all the songs today.
Well, let me go over a couple of things because I'm sure people know. Would you just get to it? Let me see. There's so much.
Well, it just isn't that easy, is it?
No, no, it's really not. You know, that's. I'm glad you mentioned that. This has never been done in our nation, and people out of everywhere across the country came forward and said, "Here's what you need to do. Here's what you need. Here's what you." They all had ideas. They all had solutions, and all these brilliant people came, and none of them knew what they were really talking about because you couldn't do those things. There was either no provision for it constitutionally or legally or both. And then there's also political considerations. One of the texts that I got Friday night, I think, I looked at it Saturday morning, was, why isn't the Senate now doing something? How come they haven't moved to decertify? Who bought and paid the Senate? I mean, all this stuff. Well, the Senate cannot decertify. But people don't know these things because they haven't been taught. And they're reading stuff all over the internet. It's so misleading. The information, like I've already said, has been turned into the Senate. That's what they were supposed to do. The Senate then has a decision to make, and that is whether it reached the level of investigation or not. It has. It's now been turned to the Attorney General. Attorney General is now charged with investigating, and you're correct before the break. All this investigation has gone on, so you present it in a nice file, and the Attorney General and his smart people, the legal, the sworn officers, peace officers, and cyber people, they'll take a look at all the evidence, and that makes it go quicker. You're exactly right, Bill. They don't have to reinvent the wheel. So they'll take a look at the evidence now and see if it matches that of a crime or crimes where charges could be brought. But they don't have to go back and do all the legwork that was done over these past months. What has been handed to them, to the Attorney General, is a number of concerning elements. It has now been proven that chain of custody was violated by the county. That is a crime, a federal crime. There were multiple security issues. The machines were tampered.
Well, they were all using the same login and password. I mean,
there was that also.
That was just, you know, even for people who don't understand cybersecurity, if you had, that would be like everybody in, you know, pick a company. Everyone in Target, when they log into their cash register, uses the same ID. So you have no way of knowing what clerk used that cash register. I mean, they don't even do that at McDonald's or Target or anywhere else. I mean, unique ID is required.
What was also proven, again, from here on out, I'm talking about proven, not hypothetical or theory. This is all proven now that Internet activity did exist on these computer, on these voter logs. And all the rest of the machinery. That is such a crime. And that internet activity did exist on multiple sites. And what the county did in preparation for the audit is they erased all that to try to cover it up. That was captured.
Oh.
So now not only do you have the proof that internet activity occurred on tabulators and voting machines and all that, which is... No.
Well, supposedly they couldn't even do that. You know, they said you couldn't even do that. And didn't they erase it the day before they had to turn everything over? Wasn't it like February 1st and they had to turn it all over February 2nd or something?
They erased. All I can say is that it was erased. I can't give you a date because I don't know a date. But it was erased, and the erasures have now been proven forensically, because when they go in and do the forensics, and I don't understand this for all of your viewers, so talk to Bill. He's smart, I'm not. But they're able to come into a machine, and they're able to even look at the echoes and any activity in a machine. Even if it's been erased, they can still tell. I don't know how that's done. It's been explained to me a couple of times, and it's like crickets. I have no idea what you're talking about. It's really complicated, but all cyber people understand this. So it was proven that the county erased this egregious alleged criminal activity. Right there. If you just stop right there and go home.
So they proved that things were erased, but do you think they'll be able to prove, they'll probably be able to tell from what terminal or whatever, but do you think they'll be able to prove who did it?
I have a high reason to believe that. I can't discuss that.
Okay.
I'm sorry. One day, yes, you will have an answer, but I have a high reason to believe your answer is correct. There was also confirmed remote access occurred. That's now been confirmed. We had evidence, again, prima facie evidence, going back to late January, because I was I was the person that it was handed to. And then I turned it over, because a lot of it was cyber stuff, and I don't understand that. I'm not being funny. But somebody came forward after listening to my show, Arizona Today, and they contacted a legislator. The legislator contacted me and said, I have somebody who wants to give you information. I said, thank you very much. Why don't you deal with it? I was just bombarded. I couldn't even get through the mail. It takes 5-6 hours a day to get through the mail at that time. Emails, phone calls, texts. I couldn't do it. I could not. There was not enough hours in the day. Literally, and I had people helping me. That's how bombarded we were. So this person came forward, told the legislator, do you know Dr. Rapacki? Yes, we've known him 10 years. Can you get a message to him? Yes. Would you tell him this and this? The legislator contacted me, and I said, you deal with it. Because I chalked it up to another person who wanted to help, bless their heart. But I had probably 100 people who knew how to do the forensics and the machines. They were willing to come to Arizona. I had 100 people willing to do this with the ballots to tell if they were fraudulent or counterfeit. I had more people coming forward who are experts in all these fields, and so I just chalked it up to that. The legislator contacted this person back, does not live in Arizona, the person lives somewhere else. And that person said, would you please tell Dr. Lyle this and this? The legislator called me back the next day and said, he told me to tell you this and this. I went, do you know this person? No. Do you have his phone number? Yes. I called this person and I said, and the person lives in Georgia, I can tell you that now. The person, and I said, okay, before you go any further, have you discussed this with anyone? Well, my wife. Anyone else? No. I would recommend that you not discuss it with your wife anymore. And I would recommend you not discuss it with anyone, and you'd get an attorney, especially one that might specialize in constitutional and or national security law. Secondly, do you have any problems undergoing a background check? And I don't mean through friends or us or, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
No, sir. So he gave me all of his information. I said, all right, tell me what you got. He spent an hour and a half. And out of that hour and a half, we know about the manuals. We know about the teaching manuals. We know when they were taught. We know what Dominion did, with whom, who came forward, the 15 states that were involved, the 6 nations that were involved. We know about the IP addresses, the 2 satellites that were involved. I mean, it just was on and on and on.
Wow.
And all of that, and then just even some other national security matters were handed to me, and I immediately turned them over to Colonel Waldron, who is a national security specialist and a cybersecurity specialist. And I said, Phil, you got to look at this to see if it's really legit. And so we discussed it. I went over it for an hour and a half with him. He then called this person. They spoke 3 hours. The next day, Colonel Waldron and his cybersecurity investigator flew to Georgia, and they're in Texas, and they flew to Georgia, and they met for 7 or 8 hours with this individual. He gave them manuals, laptops. He gave them all that stuff. They secured it, and they went back to Texas and began the process of forensically evaluating it. So all of that was then turned into President Trump in February, first of February, something like that. And that's when you began to hear Mike Lindell come forward with some stuff, which we wish he hadn't said some things, but that's where they were getting the information. And so bit by bit, information has come out as to how sophisticated this whole thing was, who all was involved, multiple states. And now with the evaluation that's been just finished, confirms beyond a doubt that which has been revealed. And so now, when you say that there was confirmed remote access, they know that's forensically because they've tested it. The county stated in their own audit, which, comma, or parentheses, was conducted by Dominion. they claimed
sure, that was totally fair.
Internet history was found. Exactly. Wow. They claimed there was no internet history found whatsoever. That you can't do that. You're not supposed to do that. Yeah, okay, they put that out as part of the finding. Well, the forensic audit just showed internet activity did exist on multiple sites, and then they erased it. So these are serious crimes, wow, folks. These are not simple.
Yeah, that isn't.
I'm sorry.
Those aren't just small oversights. News break, believe it or not, almost. Just want to let people know we have you as a hostage. We don't care if you're sick, actually. You're still our hostage. For the second hour, we'll keep talking about this, so hang with us. You can find everything at wethepeopleradio.us. I guess I would have to say something.
Yeah. That'd be your cue.
Yeah, I was listening to Folsom Prison Blues deciding if I wanted to play that later in the show. Hey, boy. Bill's talking about the guy with the 7-second memory during the break. Apparently it's contagious. My name's Aaron Ryan, and I guess I probably should confess that at this point.
Yeah, I would.
Mr. Cundiff, who's our sponsor?
Well, my name's Bill Cundiff, and
I already told him that.
Oh, you did?
I just pretended Mr. was your first name.
I forgot. It was 7 seconds ago. Yeah, our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. They're located up on 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. And if you need a tractor or a mower or implements, go up and see them. They've got it all. Got a pretty good inventory right now. Go up and see what they've got. If you need parts or service, they've got shop and parts on hand. Pretty good bunch of guys up there that can take care of you. They also have Honda generators in stock. Kind of run a little bit low on those, but they do have a fairly good selection of them. Get them while they're hot. Winter's
forget
coming.
Forget while it's hot.
Yeah, while it's hot, and PG&E doesn't thaw your turkey out. You can give them a call at 226-9226 or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah, I got caught up in Folsom County blues or Folsom Prison blues because I guess I was thinking about, you know, where the people who did all this stuff in Arizona should end up. Just fishing for the right song, you know?
Yeah.
So Dr. Lyle Rapacki is here with us. We will have another hour that goes by. Like, if you want to time travel with us, you are on the right. You're on the right show because this will be a really super fast hour. So, Dr. Lyle.
Now, we were talking about the Arizona audit and some of the things that were discovered and reported by the Arizona Senate. And I was kind of hoping maybe for the folks that haven't really been following this closely, you could go over some of the and you've already discussed a few of the things, but some of the details of
the actual findings?
The findings that came out in that audit. We watched I watched part of it. I think Aaron watched all of it online last week. They read the findings, and just from what I watched, I was pretty shocked at the level of deception that went on.
Well, and if you know anything about how computers work at all, I mean, if that is something that interests you, the findings from, and I did not catch his name. You could help us with that, but he was the guy who got into all the IP addresses and how many of them were duplicated and all these different things that they did. If you have any knowledge at all about how computers work, that section was amazing. If you were not a computer person, it was like watching paint dry. But the cyber ninjas, I know when they gave that report, that stuff, I was all very understandable for regular people. And Lyle, what was the part? I missed it. So I got a phone call in the middle, and I turned the sound way down, and the cyber ninjas reported on something where everyone in the room started cheering. You could hear everybody cheering, and it was like, They had evidence of something that I think was going to track to actual people, and everybody started cheering. Do you remember what that was?
Well,
I didn't want to go back and watch the whole thing again.
You'll have to go back. I could misspeak. Basically, again, what was being presented was conclusive evidence that people had access to those machines that should not have. Multiple people were accessing the machines, and yet their names were erased and or the information as to when they logged in and all that were erased, and it was through forensic that they were able to recapture it through echoing. I don't understand that, but that was a huge, huge finding. It goes back to security logs were decapped for 22 months after an election, and yet the logs were either not kept, that's now been proven, or they were not provided. So, again, that's a serious the credentialing system.
You're cutting out.
You're cutting out large chunks of time there. Bill had a theory on why maybe. Do you have one of those magnetic pocket protectors on? Apparently Bill used to have one, and he thought potentially that was causing some interference.
Yeah, it sounds like maybe you might be moving around or something, because your signal comes in real clear and then it fizzles out. So could you repeat that last part again?
The security logs. Can you hear me okay?
Kind of.
Really? I can hear you very clearly.
Okay,
the security logs.
Perfect.
The security logs are to be kept for 22 months after an election. And the logs were either not kept or they were not provided for the audit pursuant to subpoena. That's a very serious charge. Another serious charge that has been validated through this forensic evaluation is the credential system shared the same password. Therefore, there was no accountability as to who used or had access. No names, dates, or times. This is absolutely egregious and a violation of federal statute. So it was proven that the machinery has been compromised. Likewise, accounts were purged prior to February 1st. That's now been proven. Dominion came in and did their own audit, I think twice, because the county said we've done it twice. What they didn't tell everybody is who did the audit. It was Dominion. So Dominion did it on their own machines. That's the fox looking after the hen house and telling the farmer, no, there's nothing wrong here. We have a couple of chickens missing, but I think they'll come back at night. Wow. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, that's okay. That's pretty unbelievable.
Likewise, it's terribly unbelievable. likewise, the only people who had access to the machines was Dominion. Wow. That goes against law also.
Yeah.
So when questioned, the supervisors lied, the recorders lied, but through evaluation, it all came out that none of them had access to the machines as they alleged. So therefore, the only people who had access to those machines were Dominion, whose machines they were. Well, that's a whole show in itself of just unconscionable lying, collusion, deception. It's just unconscionable. Like I said already, internet activity was proven. That's, again, it's a felony. You are not to have internet activity available on computer, on voting systems, and this has now been proven. They went ahead and erased the internet activity, making it minimal. But that was proven also, showing that they now came in and doctored their own crime scene. So you've got mistake after mistake where you've got crime upon crime. The findings also showed that 1,455 ballots had no signatures whatsoever. Well, they're to be purged, but they were counted. So when it goes back to Biden winning by 10,000 votes, it wasn't the ninja's position to prove otherwise. That's not what was going on here. What they were to do is come and take a look at all the information and put it in a reliable, usable framework and give it to the Senate so the Senate could make a determination. Well, one of the pieces of information they uncovered was what I just said. 1,455 ballots had no signatures whatsoever, yet they were counted. 587 ballots had what's considered bad signatures. A bad signature can either be a scribble, non-legible, or as in multiple cases, a simple line, just a line. I don't know how to describe it to your folks, your listeners, but it's just a line. Let me just draw a little line. I mean, I might as well draw a tic-tac-toe. And I'm not trying to be funny. I mean, it's not a signature.
They showed that on the part I watched. They showed examples of some of the
bad signatures,
uh-huh, and no signatures that were actually stamped, certified.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Correct. Then you had 934 ballots that were late returns, meaning they were not even submitted during the election day. They came in later, and they were not military or something that would have an explainable. There were 16,934 voters with two ballots. Well, let's pause right there. That's 16,934 that voted on two separate ballots.
Now, would that invalidate both of them, or would that just invalidate one of the two?
Well, clearly it would invalidate one.
Yeah.
Clearly. But that's a decision that the Attorney General is going to have to make.
But again,
564 Go ahead, Bill.
Oh, I was just going to say that's 8,000 votes right there. They've got to toss out just on the duplicate, the ones that were duplicated twice. But weren't there duplicates, triple duplicates as well?
There were. There was 564, and then triple, and then 16 voted four times.
Jeez.
So right there, that last part.
Vote early and vote often. Hey, Lyle, before you go past that, too, in the long presentation they did for the Senate, they also showed that the duplicate ballots came in on different dates. It wasn't like when they showed the envelopes, they showed it came in on this date, then a week later, and then 2 weeks later, and.
So, yeah, the same ballot with different dates on it.
With different dates written on it, but the same ballot inside.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct.
That's a neat trick,
and
too.
That suggests a criminal act. Mm-hmm. All of that was turned over to the Attorney General, which is what it should have been. It was uncovered. It was then presented to the Chief Law Enforcement Officer for further investigation by a law enforcement agency. Again, the ninjas and the ballot forensic team have no authority, nor does the Senate. This is what people don't get.
Yeah.
They have now taken this report and given it to the Attorney General. The Attorney General has all of this information plus, and now has to go through it with criminal investigators and cybersecurity investigators who are all sworn peace officers. They then take a look at whether the evidence, not theory, but the evidence will stand the testing of time and scrutiny. And if it does, then I guess the Attorney General has a decision to make.
Right. Now, one other question I had was on these duplicate ballots. I didn't get the feeling, or maybe I didn't catch it, which way these ballots voted? Were they all Democratic? Were they half and half? I mean,
they didn't really say.
Did they say, how they voted?
No, they did not. And that wasn't their charge.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a really quick break before we head into the next the rest of the segment on this. This is all the evidence. So the Arizona audit was laying out all the evidence. It was not, and I guess people really have to think about it. We all say that, we stand behind the Constitution and all that, but people want the folks that make the laws to enforce the laws. And, our founders were smart. They thought there might be corruption if that happened. So the people who make the laws are the California Senate, or the Arizona Senate. God help us all if California Senate does it too. all right, that's a whole different show. A whole different level of problems. But the Arizona Senate, once they have that information, it has to go to people who can carry out the laws.
Who can then prosecute or not.
That has to be done by two different bodies. So, nobody panic, but the data has come out. It's kind of exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So we're here with Dr. Lyle Rapacki. It's the 26th of September, 2021, so you can find this later on today. It'll be online at wethepeopleradio.us. That was the Arizona audit, the musical.
So is Honesty Lonely, Lyle?
Pretty much. Well, you know, part of the problem is people are angry. They're livid.
Sure.
They, across the nation, and rightly so, and I hope they remain livid. There was a coup. I said in my speech, again, I don't mean to be self-serving, but if people go to my website, they'll see the speech. I talked about how America experienced an attack much like Pearl Harbor. But we didn't have burning ships and buildings like Pearl Harbor Day had. But we, make no mistake, experienced a very sophisticated, very formal, very well orchestrated attack on this nation to remove a sitting president who was a threat to the globalists and to put in a puppet to the globalists who was easily blackmailed. And I believe he was. I believe he is. I believe that's how we got out of Afghanistan so quickly. China pulled the plug and said, you, Joe, either get out and leave all that material or we're going to release all the findings we have on you and your son. And within minutes, in essence, look what happened. We're out of Afghanistan and left $80 billion worth of materials. We're in some real trouble. And I believe the American people, rightly so, are livid. And they were hoping that with the advent of this audit, and now with the audit, things would change within minutes after the audit was given. So as the presentation was made and it finished, at that point in time, there would be a move by a senator to do what? Decertify or whatever. It doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. It just does not work that way. And I understand why people are angry, why they're scared, actually. Just take a look at the last 8 months of this nation's demise. It's going quick and quick. On my show tomorrow on Arizona Today, which it's not live. We do it and then we edit it, get it out. But I have a person who's been with you guys a couple of times, Claire Lopez, who I've known for, 14, 15 years. And she's a former CIA operative. And what we're going to talk about is the demise of America as a superpower. And this is well planned. Everything from the border demise to the economy to the political to the economic situation, that if they pass this HR1, we're doomed. We'll never recover. What we'll have is a Marxist economic society, and this is all part of the plan. So again, you go back to this election. When people realized that Biden won more votes than Obama on his second run for office.
All right.
Are you seriously?
Yeah.
And then what was leaked early, we're talking 9 months ago, and then what came out in that one-day hearing was preliminary evidence. It was important, but it was preliminary. There was also some prima facie evidence, meaning we had more than just some evidentiary things. We had some conclusive evidence, and it was presented. I can tell you that the next day, in a secure briefing with Senate and House leadership, additional evidence was presented to show them in a closed-door hearing why they needed to move, why the Senate should then move ahead and order not only subpoenas for evidence, but also do a further investigation have the Committee on the Judiciary order those subpoenas, which they ended up doing. But it took a good couple of weeks to teach even the Senate lawyers about the Constitution. And I'm not making this up. I was aghast. I was dumbfounded. I don't know much about computers, and everyone who knows me knows this. No one even raises an eyebrow when I say that. But if I then came forward and tried to pretend that I'm a computer something, well, that's so wrong. And likewise, if you're an attorney and you're sitting here dictating constitutional law that you have no idea what you're talking about, and then you come find out you really didn't take any in law school because they don't teach it anymore, that is just, that's appalling.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. And so it took time. And the same thing has happened in other states, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and other states. Because there's such a gap in knowledge nowadays that a lot of time over these last 9 months has been educating the proper people as to what their authority is, what is the process. Coming back to the audit, there was a confirmed breach on Election Day regarding unauthorized access to the public-facing servers. That's been confirmed. Of course, Maricopa County didn't say that. It was done by the forensic evaluation. So we had confirmed breaches on Election Day. Man, let's just stop right there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's already been three or four things that I've delivered to y'all that just them alone, just that one alone, really creates real concern. And here's just another one. 11 hard drives of cloned data was received from Maricopa County. So in other words, they did go ahead and adhere to a subpoena finally. So 11 hard drives of cloned data were received, but they were altered.
Oh boy.
So once again, you know, this is evidence. This is not theories. This is not hypotheticals. It's like going into a crime scene and you recover the gun. And, excuse me, guys, you recover the gun. You got fingerprints on the gun, but the bullets have been removed. Therefore, you can't say that these bullets were used in the crime. However, the bullet that's in the body of the deceased matches the weapon, and you go back in forensically and you are able to tell by powder burns and residue that the weapon was used, and here's the fingerprints of the weapon. And oh, by the way, take a look at the serial numbers and or other markings, and it ties up with the owner of the weapon. And that's kind of what you have here. Hmm. Thousands of serial numbers, and we kind of hinted at this already, thousands of serial numbers were printed lightly or they were very obscured, and that's what contributed to the no signature discussion or bad signatures. So you had both no signatures, in other words, they could not constitute that ballot as an official legal ballot because there was no signature whatsoever, or it was a bad signature. There were thousands of duplicate ballots without serial numbers in ballot boxes. Now, that hasn't been, we have to take a look at those ballot boxes. There's a problem there also, which was submitted obiter dictum to the Senate, meaning just in passing, it was not highlighted. And that is chain of custody was violated on multiple occasions by the county. And so that has to be looked into by a law enforcement agency, the Attorney General, because there were duplicate ballots without serial numbers sitting in boxes. Well, what the heck is that all about?
Now, when you say say serial numbers, where do the serial numbers come
without
from?
Without serial.
Right, no, but sir, but where do those serial numbers originate? I mean, are they put on the ballot after it goes through a ballot box?
No. When the ballot is printed for official use, there is a serial number placed on that ballot.
Okay.
And it matches multiple locations so that ballot can be tracked.
Okay.
Where that ballot goes. So it comes from, just for anybody listening, just listen to the analogy. That's all this is. Oh my gosh. Otherwise, contact Aaron. Don't contact me. Aaron, watch. Well, he said, please. ABC printing. Parentheses, viewers, listeners, I'm making an analogy. That's all this is. ABC printing. printing prints up 100,000 voting ballots. They are licensed to print it. They print the ballots. The ballots meet the criteria furnished by the state, whatever state that is. They have protocols in place so the ballots cannot be forged or duplicated, kind of like our currency.
Mm-hmm.
And yet what happened was ballots came forward without serial numbers, and they were placed in ballot boxes. Well, how did they get into those ballot boxes? We don't know. Where were they printed? We don't know. Can we find out? Most likely, but that was not that. That requires an investigation. That was not the venue of the audit or even the Senate. But thousands of duplicate ballots without serial numbers appeared and were located in ballot boxes. We now know also that the public server, as I've already discussed, was hacked, not only on Election Day, but previously. We already know now, I've discussed, that entries in security logs were deleted. Why and by whom? Well, that's a little nebulous, although there's some preliminary evidence that is going to come forward, and it's going to require some further investigation. Access was denied by the county, so the county would not allow the auditors access to those security logs. Why? When they were supposed to agree to the subpoenas and furnish all materials, and the subpoena was very specific. They did not do it. So again, that's a contempt of court, that's a contempt of the Senate, and that's not a make-up thing, that is an actual violation of the Senate. Again, the Senate could have had them arrested. They didn't. We could argue that one politically all you want. But the Senate had the authority to send the Sergeant of Arms of the Senate along with Department of Public Safety officers and arrest the supervisors and county recorder and elections official and bring them to the Senate. I'm not making this up. The Senate does not have a jail. Don't go there, people. But the Senate could have held them all day until the end of the day and then escort them back to their home, and they would have been under guard until the next day when they were brought back down to the Senate. This could have gone on as long as those county supervisors and elections people wanted to play this game, or they would have furnished the documents and the materials and the machinery that was requested pursuant to the subpoenas. They didn't do that. I would have arrested their ass.
So do you think that didn't happen because they didn't know they had that authority?
No, I think it didn't happen because there's politics involved, and I think also it didn't happen because, as I explained to somebody just this morning or early, who called me from Washington, wanting to know why did the Senate capitulate, why did the Senate do this, how come the GOP did this, all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I said, you have to appreciate that the Senate does not have the authority to do some of the things you're suggesting.
Yeah. Right.
The Senate also is held by a thin margin. Right now, it's a 16-14 Senate. 16 Republicans, 14 Democrats. One of the 16 is a rhino. No, actually, he's a Democrat. He just ran as a Republican to make it look good in his district. But Boyers, Senator Boyers, he has already turned vote a couple of times.
Oh, he's the one who opposed the
Democrat
audit in the first place, right? He's the one
that came out in favor of the audit. He's the one that came out in favor of the audit, told the caucus, you're right, there's enough preliminary evidence to warrant an audit, and then went to the floor to vote for it and turned his vote into a nay.
Yeah.
He lied to his caucus. He lied to his precinct. He lied to his legislative district. You can quote me. He lied. He lied bold-faced, and that's what Democrats do. They lie.
And he's the guy that they pull for all the interviews. They pull him for all the interviews because, quote, he's a Republican and he's against it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's, I mean, the fact that he's almost bought and paid for by the educational lobby. Well, that doesn't have anything to do with anything.
Just a coincidence.
You've got, excuse me, you've got evidence now upon evidence upon evidence that is credible. It's not theory. It's not theoretical. It's not hypothetical. We now have the forensic evaluations, all of which has now been turned into the Attorney General, from which he then, with his investigators, law enforcement, sworn law enforcement professionals, will now look at this evidence and either require some additional fine-tuning or require some additional information or act on it, and also will go actually a couple of steps further that they can, where the Senate and, of course, the auditor team could not. They don't have the authority. So now it's in the hands of the Attorney General, who has great latitude here, and it really falls on his lap. Now, what are you going to do, Brnovich?
We have to take a real quick break. When we come back, maybe you can give us a little insight there, since, let's face it, most people don't follow what their own Attorney General's doing, much less the one in a different state. So our guest is Dr. Lyle Verpacki. We're talking about the results of the Arizona audit, and the results are out and shocking, and it's far from over, actually. This is just the evidence-gathering part. So we'll be right back. You're listening to We the People, and you could find us online at wethepeopleradio.us.
Wonder who's cheating who, and who's being true, who don't even care anymore. It makes you wonder who's doing right, if someone's a nine, whose car's parked next door.
By those thrills, you know there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees. We got bills to pay, we got minds to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free. I know we can't slow down, we can't hold back. Though you know we wish we could. I know there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm closing my eyes for a while.
Yeah.
No, sir.
Yeah, this isn't the time to bail out. There's a lot coming. So, Lyle, what should people know about the Attorney General and all that? What's your candid appraisal?
He's been given an opportunity.
Oh, yeah, opportunity. I was thinking a bag of crap, but okay, yeah, opportunity.
Yeah, but he's been given an opportunity to make right something that is terribly wrong. The argument that is being put forward is that the certification of the election was unconstitutional, therefore it should not have been certified. Going back to November, the election did not have to be certified within a couple of days. They had until January 16th, actually. And so Ducey was informed, and so was Brnovich and Hobbs, the Secretary of State, to not certify the election, but to wait because there was sufficient cause to be concerned. There were sufficient questions. And the November 30th hearing in Phoenix was very important because it presented prima facie evidence that crime or crimes have been committed and the Constitution of the state, if not the nation, had been violated. That alone would cause for a decertification of the election. Furthermore, the plenary powers given to the legislature rule supreme, meaning it's the legislature that has the authority to call itself into special session if the governor refuses, and to move with a majority in each house to decertify if the governor will not. In this case, the election, what's being argued, and what has been put forward now in evidence to the Attorney General, that the election was not conducted pursuant to Arizona law under the Arizona Constitution, and consequently anything that occurred after November 3rd became not legal. So that's what the Attorney General has to sort through now. The investigation, if you'll allow me that, has been conducted. He may wish to go further. That's his prerogative. He has the statutory authority, the law enforcement authority to do so, but all the evidence has been handed to him to take a look at. I pray he does not go to a grand jury because we'll never see the end of it. It'll go into a dark hole. If he goes ahead and acts on the evidence, then he's got some serious decisions to make, and I pray that he is strong enough to do so. There are multiple decisions here, including alleged possible indictments, arrests. There are very serious crimes committed here, multiple felonies. Four or five that I'm aware of. There may be more. Article 2, Section 1 of the U.S. Constitution gives the Senate the authority to do what it's done, and that's what had to be taught all over the United States. That's where these other states have now come forward. They've learned from Arizona. They've not made fun of Arizona. The mistakes that Arizona's made, no one has made fun of that I'm aware of, except the people, the liberals, the internet people, but the other states have not. They understand this. This was totally, totally virgin territory. There was no rule book. There was no map. So they borrowed from Arizona, and that's why they've been able to move ahead much quicker, because they can sidestep the mistakes that Arizona made, and hooray for them. Now with the evidence that's come forward, I can tell you that four states are very much looking and have gone through, going through the evidence packets, and they're finding very similar circumstances in their states. Well, that matches with what was handed to me back in January 24th, when that person came forward and said, I have manuals, training manuals, I have this, I have that, excuse me, all related to how they intend to turn this election. I mean, think about it, folks. On election night, don't you think it's pretty odd that in multiple states, we're talking five, six, seven states, at around midnight, all the electoral processes shut down?
Yeah.
And then they opened up again at, 6 in the morning. Well, gee, go back and read the manuals, go back and read the training. That's what was planned. This whole thing was so well orchestrated, it was phenomenal. And so when you begin to calmly put all this together, you'll find that it's very daunting. It's multiple layers. It's not simple. And then since we've never been down this road, where do we go with this? Well, in this case, the right thing was done, much to the frustration of people, because they wanted the report from the ninjas to come in. Decertification starts right away. You can't do that. The Senate cannot decertify.
Right.
Both houses have to meet. So it's just people don't know, and they're mad, and I believe they should be mad. We've had a coup or an attack, like I said, like Pearl Harbor. I've used that publicly. If they go to my website, you'll see the speech. It was an attack. This country was attacked. And that's not theatrical, folks. That is exactly what happened in a very sophisticated manner. And take a look at the results of that attack. We're 8 months later. Take a look at our nation compared to where we were 8 months ago. Tell me we're not in trouble. Oh, jeez. So now the evidence has been presented. It was stellar evidence. It will withstand the test of scrutiny. The amount of attacks on this entire process has been exhausting. One time, I think you all know this, 27 attorneys were sent out to Phoenix to block the audit. I forget how much they were all paid. It was well over $1 million. And they came out here to find legal reason. They went to court. Court threw it out because their arguments weren't solid. Well, there was one day where the audit was stopped for about a day and a half because of a legal argument. People have forgotten about that.
And this is all when they tried to stop the audit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it goes on and on. I mean, the attacks, it's been a daunting process. You take a look at Representative Fincham. He's lost money. They were trying to impeach him. They tried to bring him up on charges in the House of Representatives, on ethics charges. All of it was defeated, but you have to go through all that. Bill, you know this, Aaron, you know this. I start calling Aaron a bad name or calling Bill a bad name, and then I come up with all sorts of phony stuff, and I say Aaron's really a jerk, or Bill is, and blah, blah, blah. And I put all this stuff out. 99% of it is so egregiously wrong. There may be one little element, you know, but 99% is so wrong. But look what you have to do. You have to go through the emotional process, and then you have to go through maybe the legal process to defend yourself. And to combat all of this, it's exhausting. It's time-consuming. Representative Fincham's lost. I know he paid out of his own pocket. He doesn't discuss it, but I can tell you now, he paid out of his own pocket for that one day down at the hearing on November 30th. He put it on his American Express card. I'm not making this up. Like $25,000 or a little bit more. There was no monies. The legislature should have paid for this. Now, I will tell you, in Wisconsin, they did what Arizona was asked to do, but Arizona leadership wouldn't do it. And that is they named a grandmaster, and then the state is paying for their audit. That's how it should have been. This is a state issue, but they didn't do that here. So the state of Arizona put $150,000 into this audit, and this audit was well over $5 million.
See, and that's so the part that's all and that's what's all being misconstrued. They spent $5 million to certify that Biden won. That's the short headline on the whole thing.
That's not true. It's not true.
And it just
is. Not true.
Yeah, and that's the part that people really need to wrap their mind around. Where we have like three and a half minutes or something. So before we run up against the time bandit here, where is the best place for people to get the latest breaking stuff? Is your website keeping everything posted? Is that a good place to send people to keep track of what happens going forward? Going forward, where's the best place for people to keep track of what is current on this? Is your site going to keep track of all that?
My site will keep track, and we'll keep posting information. I'll post some other information tomorrow. Is tomorrow Monday?
Yeah, tomorrow's
Monday. I have Claire Lopez coming on to discuss national security issues. I have Senator Borelli and Representative Fincham coming on to discuss what's the next step. What you're going to hear, I'll give you a preview, is there's going to be a resolution submitted to both the House and the Senate in Arizona. Each member of the House, each member of the Senate gets the opportunity to sign off on it, to call for decertification, and also call for a special session. Those that don't sign for it, well, okay, you're going to have to answer for that, legislators, because the Arizona people and the American people are fed up. They're livid.
Yeah.
They're tired of weak-kneed, pusillanimous elected officials who will not do their job. They just care about their next office. And so to their own chagrin and to their own damage, they better decide what they're going to do if they don't sign this. Is that blackmail? Okay, whatever you say, I don't care.
Yeah.
What we have here is a really bad situation.
And now it's no longer just a...
Attorney General's been hit.
Yeah, and it isn't just the opinion of someone. It's actually all the...
No.
All the data is in, and now it has to be acted upon.
And what you're going to get, right, and they're still going to come out with a report. It's going to be made public. If it hasn't already started, the whole 100-plus page thing will be published. You'll be able to see the whole thing. Read it yourself. The Attorney General now has it. So I would stay up with my site. Would be good. I think it's Mark Fincham, You just have to look. I forget what Mark's site is, but he'll keep you posted also. F-I-N-C-H-E-M, Mark Fincham, Representative Mark Fincham. I know his site will keep you posted. Bannon on, gee, I hope Steve gives me an attaboy somewhere. He's got near 70 million or 75 million viewers and listeners. I have 1.4 or 5 million. I'm catching up. I'm getting.
Well, we would appreciate any updates, and we'll post them. And
I'll give them to you guys. Yeah, I know you guys are very kind. You'll post all this stuff, so thanks.
We just want to make sure that people are getting accurate information, and we know that the name of the game is to demoralize people and tell them nobody's doing anything, nothing is going to happen, and nobody cares. And that's just not true.
And that's not true. It is not true. It is not true.
All right. Our friend Dr. Lyle Rapacki has been with us again here talking about the Arizona audit. You can find this show commercial-free and free to listen to this afternoon. Thanks, Lyle. And here's what we hope happens as a result of the Arizona audit. We've got a song for that, too.